Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good day. This is your host, John Nashi, New Mind Development Project, focusing on issues of concern. Peace be upon you all. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Once again, this is John Nashi, your host for New Mind Development Project, and we're coming to you this morning with some information for discussion. Actually, it's a very difficult time that we're living in the world today, not only here in America, but all over the world. And I'm constantly reminded by Christian quote, I believe it's from the Bible, it mentions the end of time when there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And I think we're there right now. If that holds true, and I'm pretty certain it does, then we're right there, wars and rumors of wars. When I got up this morning, I looked at the news, and I saw that the Congress had passed a $61 trillion for wars in Ukraine and also Israel. American money to fight wars in two different countries. So this is a problem. It's a problem for most Americans. And I think many of us who go along with these things, either we have some opportunity or advantage for our own selves, I'm talking about far as politicians is concerned, and the general public just out of ignorance. You know, we see too many John Wayne movies where Americans go in and kick everybody's butt, and then we come back home and sing in the song, patriotic songs, etc. You know, it's just the mind is befogged. You know, we have a war appetite in this society. I was born in 41, and I can count the wars. First started World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War. It just goes on and on. You know, now we're all the way up to Russia, Ukraine, Israel, supplying weapons, and mass destruction to these societies for death. And I'm pretty certain the expansionists don't want to take over the world. But, you know, our reference as Muslim is always the Quran. And we strive to live according to the Quran. And we want to do what Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says. And Allah teaches us in the Quran. He says, oppression is worse than slaughter. Oppression is worse than slaughter. And what is oppression? Oppression is prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or control of a people. That's oppression. We understand oppression as African Americans because we have been oppressed right here in America. No war, we have just been dominated. But just imagine being prolonged or cruel and unjust treatment over a long, long period of time. It says oppression is worse than being slaughtered. At least when you're slaughtered, that's the end of it. But oppression just goes on and on, prolonged. Slaughter is to kill in a cruel and violent way. Oppression is worse than slaughter. So if being killed in a violent way and oppression is worse than that, then it tells us why people fight. And then in the Holy Quran, it mentions to us in Surah 2, Chapter 2, verse 190, this is the word of Allah in the Quran. In the cause of Allah, those who fight you, but do not transgress limits, for Allah loves not the transgressors. Fight in the cause of Allah, those who fight you. So what is this telling us? It's telling us that we're not pacifists. You know, if somebody fights you or strives to oppress you, then you have a right to fight back. That just makes good sense. Everything in nature fights back. Even small animals. You see little ants on the ground. One ant attacking another ant for whatever reason, I don't know. But it must have had infringed on his territory. Even he has enough sense to fight back. And Allah tells us, fight in the cause of Allah those who fight you, but do not transgress limits. For Allah loves not the transgressors. There's a method of fighting, you see, in Islam. Now, we're talking like this because we want to try to understand, is the people in Gaza on solid ground, or the people who's fighting in Gaza, I should say, are they on solid Islamic grounds for defending themselves? You see, fight in the cause of Allah, those who fight you, but do not transgress. So when we see Hamas, you know, they label in the media that they're terrorists, and the people in Gaza quite nicely say that these are freedom fighters. They're being oppressed, right? So Allah gives them a right as Muslim to fight against their oppressors. Now, 74 years being confined to a small location with restrictions, etc., that's oppression, the way they're being treated. Actually, when we look up and look in the media or see on television or whatever the case, we see people literally being starved to death, children being killed and murdered, women being killed, murdered, bombed, 500-pound bomb, 1,000-pound bombs dropped. The city is literally destroyed. So does Hamas or the military wing of the people of Palestine have a right, an Islamic right, not the right of Russia or America or Israel, but do they have a religious right, the right of God to fight to defend themselves? Of course they do. Fight in the cause of Allah, those who fight you, but do not transgress limits. Now, one of the problems that I have when the people of Hamas, the military wing, when they broke out, they killed people, they fought military people, bombed and whatever they did. One of the problems I have is when a Muslim uses his body to blow up or put a bomb on his body to commit suicide or whatever the case, and I don't think that was the case in this case, but I did hear stories about that, where a person is shaheed, they call them. They blow themselves up or jump on a bus and blow up the bus and blow everything. That's not Islamic. We shouldn't do that. That's not a fight. That's not an Islamic fight. That's not fighting in the cause of Allah. That's fighting an emotional fight because you're so stressed out from being oppressed for so long. Do anything that you possibly can think of to relieve that oppression from yourself and from your people. I mean, we can understand it, but it's not Islamic, and we have to make that clear. But do they have a right to break out and attack military bases and attack people who's fighting against them? Of course they do. This is the right that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given to each and every one of us. And Allah, right now, is the best know. In Surah 2, ayat, or verse 191, it mentions, and slay them wherever you catch them, and turn them out from where they have turned you out, for turmoil and oppression is worse than slaughter. But fight them not at the sacred mosque unless they first fight you there. But if they fight you, slay them. Such is the reward of those who suppress faith. Sadaqallah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And Allah says, fight them, but fight them at the sacred mosque. fight them at the sacred mosque unless they first fight you there. He says, do not fight them at the sacred mosque unless they first fight you there. And if they fight you, slay them. Now, we know the sacred mosque. We have three sacred mosques. The most sacred mosque for Muslims is in Mecca, Medina, and Palestine, Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, we saw films, at least I saw films, about the Israeli army attacking them in Al-Aqsa Mosque during the month of Ramadan. I think it was last Ramadan. They threw bombs and beat up people and threw them out and did many horrible things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they fight you in that holy place, fight them back. That's a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So are they on solid ground? Of course they are. They are fighting for the fighting in the cause of Allah, those who fight them to alleviate themselves of being oppressed. Very, very important. For oppression is worse than slaughter. You know, it hurts our hearts to see these events taking place in the world, in Palestine, also in Ukraine. They strong people. They come out to fight for their land or defend their country. The Russian young boys, they come out to protect their borders or whatever the case. And the military people, the politicians in the background, people are being slaughtered by the hundreds of thousands. Bodies being sent back in body bags, bodies being buried in the ground, bodies that you can't even find. They can't even find them. I was watching a film, and some of the people were going out searching for bodies, and they dig in the trenches looking for bones, just skeletons, to bring back to their families. It's a sad story. War is sad. And if war was for the purpose of oppression, that'd be one thing. But when it's for the purpose of money, for the purpose of financial gains, allocating $61 billion to build more planes and airplanes and bombs and rockets and things of that nature, while many of the politicians fill their pockets with money just supplying contracts to these big industries to build these powerful weapons and being kicked back. Getting kickbacks from these big companies. We know how the thing works. I was in business myself, a small business, nothing like that. But everywhere I went, there was always somebody looking for a kickback to give me a job, a contracted job. I'll give you the job if you kick me something back. That's the way of business right here in the country. Don't be naive. Understand what's taking place so God can bless us in this life and also in the afterlife. For the help of God is with those who patiently persevere. So we have a right to defend ourselves even in sacred places. That's how important it is. Self-defense. You know, when they supply weapons, they call them arms, A-R-M-S, arms. Arms today are rockets, machine guns, artillery, all of those kinds of things. Back in the time of the caveman or the early man, it was his arms, right, with a fist on the end where they punched each other. They used these things to defend themselves because if somebody walked up to you to strike you, the first thing you do is throw up your arm. But quite nasty, man develops over a period of time, and then he picks up a stick and becomes an arm. He makes a bow, and then gunpowder is discovered, the bullets, and now artillery bombs, atomic bombs, nuclear weapons, right? Look how far it graduated from just the physical body fighting off an attack, and now we're threatening the whole world with nuclear weapons, arms, right? Killing off not only the enemy, but also killing off our own selves. So we follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be successful in this life. And if we have to fight, last thing in the world that we should want to do is fight, especially fighting in sacred places. Al-Aqsa Mosque, third holiest mosque. The Israelis attacked that masjid. They threw stun grenades and whatever else, beat up the people, dragged them out, etc. So we have a very serious problem. And sometimes we wonder, as religious people, we wonder why does God allow these things to happen? He's manifesting defects. He's manifesting defects in everything. He's manifesting defects in the government. He's manifesting defects in military. And he's also manifesting the defects in our own selves, me as an individual. How is this affecting me? Am I standing up for right? Am I speaking out for truth? We have to understand these things. I have a position to cast truth at falsehood when we see it. And if we are weak and we sit down and we watch these things and we never make a comment on it, we never say anything, then Allah has manifest your defect, your weakness. He's bringing these things out in so many different areas. And Allah said, Allah, the believer will eventually win through. I believe that. I believe that 1,000%. Took me a long time to get to God. I'm talking about a long time. I became Muslim in 1966. And I was 25 years old. Today I'm 82. And I think I was probably around 75 years old before I really understood God in my soul, in my own soul, communicate in my soul, not from a person standing on a podium giving a lecture, but realizing God or Allah for my own self in my own soul. And I hear Allah when he speaks to my soul and gives me directions. Alhamdulillah. So I don't need a whole lot of people to tell me too much of anything, just as reminders, but I'm in touch with the God that I worship, put it like that. And if you don't have that, then you haven't arrived. So God is the best knower. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I hear a fellow Muslim saying, we African Americans no longer are oppressed in America. Oh, we're no longer oppressed in America. They don't really believe, understand what oppression means. The advertisement, the commercialism have made, they have lost their sensitivity to pain. They're not sensitive to pain anymore. They don't even realize that they are in pain. I actually even look at the news and see the drug addictions. How many African Americans are incarcerated in prison? How many for life? How many lifers? How many without the possibility of parole? How many are waddling in the streets in pain? Not only African-American, but people in general. Speaking from African-American because I'm African-American, but people in general. People like zombies laying out in the streets from these addictions. And the media is constantly reminding us, everything's all right. Don't worry about it. We're going through a little difficulty, but we'll survive. They're causing the people to lose their sensitivity to pain. If you don't know who you are as a human being and what God intended for you as a human being, then you have lost. Because people can convince you that I'll smack you in the face and it's all right. No. Once you are sensitive, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. African Americans no longer, some African Americans I should say, no longer feel that they are oppressed. And when you really look at it, we're at the bottom of society. The migrants, the illegal migrants who have just come to this country have elevated themselves above us already. I live in a town where many live, and they are productive. Many of them are already buying homes. They have businesses, etc. Right? How does this happen? When we've been here for 400 years, and we're still looking for the approval of the United States of America. When they come here, they're not looking for the approval of the United States of America. They're looking for a better life. And the unity is what makes them successful. So as long as you can keep an African-American people divided, then African-Americans will never be successful. And we always feel that we are not oppressed in the land as long as we're able to get a check or welfare, some food stamps and things of that nature. Now, Allah created us for something much bigger than that. And this is why we fight against oppression. We're not fighting with weapons. We don't have weapons. We don't fight with weapons. We fight with the truth. Allah tells us in the Quran, hurl or cast truth at falsehood until you knock out his brain. Actually, that's the only way you're going to be able to defeat the devil. The only way you're going to defeat the devil is by truth. In other words, shine light on him. I remember the story of Dracula. He was a devil. He black in bed in a coffin. He stayed in the dark. But once the light was revealed on him, that's what killed him. It wasn't the physical light of the sun. It was the light of truth that killed him. Alhamdulillah, God knows best. This is the wish of most African Americans who don't feel pain when it comes to them to America, because they feel that feeling was lost during the period of slavery. Slavery, you know, if I was talking to a Caucasian person, oh, there you go again, you're bringing up, why don't you just let bygones be bygones? No, you don't let your history be bygones. This is a history, this is an experience that we experience. We experience 400 years under the authority of a slave master. Now, what kind of people would come out of slavery, the slave master gives them freedom, emancipation proclamation, then he puts them into a Jim Crow situation where they are free but not equal, and then today all of the jobs that we have is by the slave master. The slave master's names still are cling to us. Whatever his name was during the slave period, that's our names today. Everything that we have, our houses are built. Con Edison and energy and whatnot is supplied by him. Our food is supplied by the same master. Brother, don't you know that's oppression for some people, like myself? That's oppression just to know that the person who enslaved my parents during that period of time, I'm still depending on them. Don't you think America would have a greater respect for us if we joined ourselves in unity, pooled our resources, and looked after our own interests, paid our taxes to America like everybody else, fulfill our obligations to America like everybody else, but stand out as an independent people like the Irish people, like the Italian people, like the Chinese people, like the Latino people, stand out as independents in American society? Brother, they would be greatly, greatly appreciated over a period of time. So this is what we're talking about. These are people fighting for that dignity in Palestine right now, right in Gaza, right in the West Bank. They're fighting for dignity. They're fighting for independence. And Israel is their oppressor. Whether America say so or not, it doesn't make a difference. Our common sense tells us that people are being oppressed. And Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite nasty, the best knower. And then in the time of our dear Prophet Muhammad, over 1,400 years ago, early part when he's in the city of Medina, he left Mecca and went to Medina, and he began to establish Islam, formulating Islam, developing the principles for Islam. He had to fight. He was fighting against oppressors. And there were three major battles early on in his in the career of Islam in the city of Medina: the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, and the Battle of the Trench. He had to fight. What did they fight with? They fought with weapons. They fought with bows. They fought with spears. They killed, and some of them were killed. Prophet Muhammad was even wounded in the fight. So we're not some bunch of passive people who just sit by and allow people to take advantage of us. No, we are a people who loves peace, but we will fight against oppressors, oppression, because oppression is worse than slaughter. So Allah gives us that in the Quran, and also the Prophet in his lifetime, he fought. He had to fight. He fought against oppression to establish the religion of Al-Islam in the world, flourishing right now today. Over 2 billion Muslims all over the world seeking peace. And the more we strive and struggle in the cause of Allah, then we're going to become better Muslims, because our understanding is going to become better. I think the problem that we have now is ignorance of our religion. And one of the blessings that I experienced in my development in Islam was Imam Warthi Muhammad. When he came, he just didn't give us a book and say, read this Quran or read this Hadith book or study the history of Prophet Muhammad or look at the Bible or look at the Torah or whatever the case. He gave us insight into it, the meaning of these things, what these things mean. He just didn't give us rituals. Anybody, you can give a child rituals. You can give a chimpanzee rituals. He can conduct themselves. He can do all of the rituals. He can stand up. He can bow. He can prostrate. You can teach him to do that. But does he understand it? That's the key. How much of our religion do we understand? And if we don't understand it, we'll be fighting to the day of judgment. Just wars and wars and wars. We can solve many of these problems just with our intelligence, our knowledge of what Islam or the purpose of the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, and begin to teach these things. And this is Ali, the Imam Warthi Muhammad. He came, and I traveled a lot of places with Imam Warthi Muhammad because that was my leader. I felt obligated when he went to Rome at the invitation of the Pope, and the Pope allowed him to speak to thousands of people. Me and my wife, we were sitting right up on the same level as the Imam Warthi Muhammad and Pope John Paul II. And I saw him, and I saw the excitement in the people from the way he gave the address. He wasn't an enemy of the people. He was a servant of the people, not just Muslims, but all people. He was trying to bring clarity to the world. Alhamdulillah. And also I went with Imam Warthi Muhammad when he had an invitation to a synagogue in Washington, D.C. For some reason, he wasn't able to make it, but all of his followers were there. And we listened to the Jewish people, the rabbis, etc. And we had a good relationship, no hostilities. We weren't trying to hurt each other. We were trying to understand one another. We weren't there with arms to fight and struggle against each other because we weren't oppressed. We wasn't oppressed by the Pope. We wasn't oppressed by these rabbis. We wasn't oppressed by the Focolare movement, Lady Kier. No, we were there to join in union for the betterment of the human family all over the world. That was our purpose. That's their purpose. That was our purpose. And that's still our purpose. That's what we do right now. But never forget. Never forget, or at least I'll say this to myself, never forget that we have an oppressor, because our situation here in these United States of America should be much better than they are presently. 400 years, and many of us are at the bottom of the ladder. And now we have congressmen sitting in office allocating $61 billion dollars on top of the hundred and some odd billions of dollars that was already allocated to war, to Ukraine and to Israel, that has nothing to do with us. Oppression is worse than slaughter. And quite nasty, God is the best knower. So these few notes that I wanted to make today, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll just go over this briefly, the people of Palestine are not terrorists. As they say, they are freedom fighters fighting against oppression. I do believe Allah gave that to them. He said, slay them wherever you catch them. This is what Allah is telling. Surah 2, ayat 191. Turn them out from where they turn you out. Turmoil and oppression is worse than slaughter. Fight them not at the sacred mosque, in this case, Al-Aqsa, unless they fight you first there. And if they fight you, slay them. Such is the reward of those without faith. Such is the reward of those without faith. This is Allah. This is not a passive religion. This is a balanced way of life for the progress of human life. Human life evolving to its excellence. And as long as we understand that, we're on solid ground. As long as those Muslims in Israel are fighting in the name of Allah, they don't care what America says, or they don't care what Israel says, or European Union, or whoever they are. They're following the command of Allah, and they're standing on it because they know that they will eventually win through. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And our religion is a religion of submission. Islam means peace, but it also means submission to get to peace. We have to submit to God's will and follow the example of our dear Prophet Muhammad, his character, follow his character. We're not interested in Prophet Muhammad's sandals and camel or some long shirt that he wore. That's not our interest. Our interest is his character, how he conducted himself in his lifetime, and duplicate that in our lifetime. And if we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every human being on this planet Earth to come to clear understanding that we are one people on this planet Earth, that God put us here to develop the natural resources that he has given us for the benefit of each and every one of us. And when we join hands, we'll benefit from what the great blessings that Allah bestowed upon each and every one of us. So thank you once again for tuning in. And next week, we'll have another subject. I don't know what it'll be, but stay tuned. And may God bless you and your family and your community. Peace.